Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank you that you are our God and that you care about us. You understand our needs. You know where we are and where our heart is. And we just pray, Father, that you bless us as we look into your word this morning. We pray, Father, that you would just help us to be calm and to have our thoughts together and be able to share what you want us to share and to lift up your name and to glorify you. Lord, we pray your will be done, that your hand will be upon us, that you'd minister to each one here this morning as we wait before you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning, I want to look at a few verses in Hebrews chapter 12, thinking about Jesus and looking unto Jesus in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I guess my main thought I have this morning is that of looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, the devil wants us to look everywhere else. When we look at the circumstances around us, we look at the situations and difficulties that we face in life, there are so many things to distract us from looking unto Jesus. We want to consider the importance of looking to Jesus. It says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, sometimes we think our situation is difficult. Sometimes we think life is frustrating. We get frustrated with circumstances and situations of life. Just Friday, I had an encounter with two different individuals that came to me and were struggling with life. One was struggling with family problems and marriage problems, and another one called me later in the evening, and he's been locked away in a mental hospital for probably 10 to 15 years, and it doesn't look like there's any chance that he'd ever get out. And he asked me a question. He said, the big question is this. He says, is my life worth anything to God? How would you feel if your life was that of being locked away in a mental hospital year after year after year and not able to contribute to society and not able to contribute anything to anyone, to benefit anyone, to amount to much of anything? He says, is my life worth anything to God? I guess the only thing that I could think right away was to point him to Jesus Christ. I said, regardless of the difficulty of our situation, how terrible our situation might be, Jesus still loves you. Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and he cares about you. That's about all I could tell him, that he needs to look to Jesus. What else can we say but look to Jesus? There's no other advice I could give him, because I don't know how to help someone like that, but to look to Jesus. So I think, you know, maybe we think our situation is the worst of the worst, but you know, there's people in more difficult situations than what ours is. And in every situation, we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and our struggles and our difficulties and look up We need to look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to put a little illustration on the board this morning. Here we're going to have Jesus, the author. Over here we'll have Jesus, the finisher. And then here we're going to call him the sustainer. Here's Jesus in the past, Jesus in the present, and Jesus in the future. Jesus is the beginning, and Jesus is the ending, and Jesus is the present. And we want to look at him in this light this morning and think of, down here I want to put, this is me and you. Right here in the present, and over here we have our past, and over here we have our future. I believe the devil likes to keep us involved on this level. You know, when you and I look over our life, I think most of us are human enough to acknowledge that as we look back over our past, we see a lot of things there that we wish we wouldn't have to see properly. There's a lot of things there. We've made mistakes. We've had failures. We've done things that we just wish it wasn't there. Things that we'd rather not talk about. There's things in our past that we've messed up. We have our sins in there and our life in the past. You know, there's probably some good things in there that the devil would like us to look at and become proud about and become puffed up and of our accomplishments and our good deeds. You know, the devil wants to keep us looking at our works, our good deeds and our bad deeds, make us feel bad about the bad things and make us feel good about the good things. But the devil wants us to focus on this level here of our everyday life. But Jesus, the author, he's the beginner. He's also the forgiver. Jesus is the forgiver, and when we look to Jesus, we find forgiveness for the past. Our past, those past things are under the blood. The blood was shed for our sins. It was shed for our past. It was shed for those things in the past. And because we can look to him, we have forgiveness for those things, and we can have a peace with God. We can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon our life. Because we look to him by faith, because we look to Jesus, we look to the one who is the forgiver, the one who has taken care, he's paid the price, he's paid for the reconciliation of our sins, for he's purchased us unto himself, he's forgiven us of our sins, and we can be adopted into his family as a child of God. We can have that past forgiven. We can have those things that we're ashamed of can be under the blood, and we can have peace and freedom in our life today because Jesus, the forgiver, the one who has paid the price for our sins, he made the way that we can have access to him. And we look to him today as the one today that gives us strength. He gives us grace. Jesus is the one. He's the sufficient one. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for us today. He gives us grace to be able to live our life one day at a time. We don't have to live under that bondage of sin and control of Satan, but we can have the power of God, and we can have the presence of God upon our life today, to walk with Him one day at a time, to be an overcomer, to live in His presence and have His anointing upon our life. There's a daily presence with Jesus that we can have confidence, we can have rest, and we can have peace. And because of that, we can look forward to the future with a hope of heaven. We can have a hope for the future. We can have confidence before God concerning the future. We don't need to worry. We don't need to fret about what lies before us, because we know that He's a sustainer. He's the one who has provided all things. He's created all things, and He's the one who holds everything in His place. We also have here about Jesus as far as being the author. We'll get into that later on. But he's also the creator. He's the one that created all things, and He holds all things in His hands. He's the one who has the ability and the grace to provide for us to experience Him in reality and in our everyday walk of life, that we don't need to live in defeat and discouragement, but we can have courage and confidence before Him as we walk with Him. Satan wants us to look at our life and what we are and our accomplishments, and either to make us proud or to put us down in despair and defeat. I think that's we all have those things. We focus on our failures and mistakes that we've made in our past. All of us are human enough to realize that we have made those kind of mistakes, and we at least could have done some things a whole lot better than what we did. I know I have to acknowledge that for myself. I look over my life and I think, well, you know, things could have been a whole lot better. I could have done things a lot better than what I did. I made plenty of mistakes and have done things that I'm ashamed of, things that I don't like to look at. But thank God, it's under the blood. Thank God for the forgiveness of Jesus. We can have access to Him. We can have His presence in our life. That we don't need to live our life in defeat and discouragement, but we can look up to Him, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we can have our sins under the blood. We can have forgiveness. We can have faith. We can have grace to walk. We have grace to live and to walk and to accomplish His purpose for our life here today. We want to walk by faith. We get our eyes off of ourselves and of our good works, and we lift them up to Jesus. Must consider Him that endured such contradiction for us, for sinners, so that we can have peace with Him. This gives us a passion and a care for the needs of others, that we can live our lives to His honor and glory. Jesus, He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our redeemer. He purchased us unto Himself. He gives us a hope for the future. He's our only hope for righteousness. He's the only hope we have of experiencing freedom from the bondages of the flesh and of the bondages of the world. But we can have that freedom through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's our sustainer. He's the one that keeps us and provides for us. I like the thought. I see it comes up on my computer every now and then. It says, "Have you ever stopped to think that it's God that has kept you here up until this day?" And I have to think about that in my own life so many times. My life could have been snuffed out so many times. So many times that I could have been carried away out into the world and fallen into deep sin and and many difficulties of life that many other people are in, but God was merciful to me, and he preserved my life. He kept me for himself. He kept me from sin. He kept me from harm. He preserved my life up until today. He's given me he's kept me here for some reason and for some purpose, and I want to find myself in his perfect will, allowing him to accomplish his purpose in me. He's the one that gives us, he gives us peace. He's our refuge in time of difficulty, in time of troubles. He's the refuge that we come to. We can experience his peace and his rest in every difficult situation of life. He's our deliverance. He's our eternal life. We can look forward with confidence. We talk about those things in Revelation. Some things we don't understand. Some things sound kind of scary, but we know that in Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of us. He's going to keep us. He's going to take us through. He's going to take us all the way to the end. He is the finisher of our faith. Thank God. He is our victory. He is our all in all. He is the one that we can look to and find everything that we stand in need of. He's the one who supplies all of our needs. He's the one I recommend to every one of you this morning. Jesus is the all in all. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is my all in all. Am I worth anything to God? Are you worth anything to God? That question that was asked of me the other night. What are you worth to God? Is God concerned about how much money you have? Does that make you of value to God? I don't believe God cares how much money you have. How much education you have. How skilled you are. How much land you own. Or how many friends you have. Or how much you give to the poor. Or how fluent you may speak, or what your Christian heritage might be, all those many good things. God's not concerned about those things. Those are not important to God. I don't believe that's of any value, of any worth in the eyes of God. I don't believe God sees any worth in us in that sense. But I believe that he loved us so much. He gave his son Jesus, and because of the blood of Jesus Christ, it has made value for us. It has been, we are worthy only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Only because of what Jesus has done for us that we can have any worth in the eyes of God. I believe it doesn't matter whether what our situation is in life, how poor we are, or how rich we are, how educated we are, whatever our situation is, it's only as we reach out to Jesus Christ, as we look unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith, and as we receive the blood of Jesus Christ upon our life and forgiveness of our sins, and our past is covered by the blood, that we can have any worth in the eyes of God. It's the presence of God and the power of God within us that makes us any worth and any value at all. So I recommend this morning that if there's anything, if we feel that we are of any value to God, it's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the finished work of Jesus in our life. I don't believe there's anything else of us that has any value or any benefit before the eyes of God. Without faith in Jesus, all is worthless. It's only the faith in Jesus Christ. But as we walk by faith, as we reach out to him, as we put our hand in his, we are righteous. We are washed. We are sons of God. We are worthy. We are forgiven. We are free from the bondages of sin. We are at peace with God. And we are, can be fruitful in his service as we look to him, as we reach out to him, as we, by faith, look up to Jesus. Our past can be wiped away. We can have that peace in our hearts. We can have the power and presence of God. And we can be a benefit and a blessing in the kingdom of God because of Jesus and no other reason. There's no other benefit to God than through Jesus working in us and accomplishing his work in us. Jesus is the one who makes us worthy Jesus is the one who gives us a life worth living. He gives us a hope for the future. He gives us eternal life. He gives us that we can look forward to being in his presence forever and ever and ever. Because of Jesus, the blood that was shed for our sins, that we can have access, we can have all this blessing, bountiful blessing upon our lives for all that he's done for us. I want to read a portion of scripture in Colossians chapter 1. It brings out a lot of this same thing that I've been talking about here. Colossians, the first chapter, there's a lot of these verses that bring out the same truths that we've been referring to already concerning Jesus as far as him being the author, the beginning, he's the middle, and he's the end, I believe. Jesus. I think I'll start reading in verse 9. There's a lot of good reading in this chapter. I don't know hardly where to stop and where to start, but I think we'll start in verse 9 and just read this rest of the chapter. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the head of the body of the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, and warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Here we see a number of things that in this chapter, where it talks about the types of Christ that we were talking about here this morning. In verse 14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Jesus is the forgiver. It says in verse 16, it talks about the creation. Jesus was there. He was in the beginning. He was the creator. We could put up here that he was Jesus the creator in the very beginning. Jesus was the one that created all things, or he created by him and for him, it says. And then in verse 17, it says, and he said, before all things, before, it says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I believe this is the where they thought of the sustainer comes from. In many translations, it says, by him all things are held in place. The creation, the whole creation, the stars, the moon, the sun, all of those things consist by him. They're all held in place. Everything is kept in place by Jesus. He has everything under his control. He's the one who sustains the universe. He's the one who sustains all things. He keeps, has all things under his control and in his hand. And that this is the in relation to our life. I believe Jesus is the one who has our life in his hands. He is sustaining us. He's the one who preserves us. He's the one who keeps us going on. He's the one who keeps us going on in our walk with God. He's a sustainer. By him, all things consist. Jesus is the one who has all things in his hands, and all things consist by him, and all things are sustained by him. Jesus is the one that we can rest in this, that he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us. He's going to keep his hand upon us all the way unto the end. Jesus, the great sustainer. I thank God for that. Then we have in verse 20 and 21, we talk about the reconciliation, having made peace through the blood of his cross, for by him to reconcile all things unto himself. For by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We see reconciliation. Salvation, reconciliation by Jesus. He's the one who purchased us unto himself. He by his own blood, he bought us, he purchased us, and he reconciled us unto God. He made peace for us, made peace with God for us, that we by faith can enter into that peace, not because of anything that we have done, not because of anything down here, but because of what he has done up here. And as we look to him, we can be reconciled to God. We can be forgiven. We can be we can experience salvation. We can experience deliverance. We can experience his presence in our life. Verse 22, it says, and in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That goes on this side, the completion. He completed him. He will present us unto the Father. He will present us as a complete and reconciled, complete in him, present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is how Jesus is going to present us unto the Father. He's the one who has completed. He's the finisher. He's the one who's given us that hope. He's the one who's given us access to heaven. It's the only reason that we have any right to heaven, because he has completed our salvation. He has made it complete that we can be righteous before him. Verse 23. Again, we have our secrets if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, whereof I, Paul, made a minister. Here I see the assurance of our salvation. We rest in assurance of our salvation. That's the peace that he gives us today. as he ministers to us, and as as we continue in the faith, as we walk with him, and we can have that peace and rest in our hearts that we are secure in him. And another verse is in verse 28. Again, it talks about the perfecter, says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? That God will present you perfect in him, the perfecter, Jesus, the perfect one. P-E-R-F-E-C-T, perfect. The perfecter, Jesus is going to present us unto the Father, perfect in Christ Jesus. That's in the final work of the finisher of our faith. Jesus, the finisher, will present us. He gives us the hope of heaven. He makes us complete in him. He presents us perfect unto the Father. That's the finisher of our faith, the completeness of our salvation. As we look to the future, we look to Jesus in the future as the finisher. We can look forward to being perfect. We can look forward to being complete and whole and holy and righteous and presented unto the Father in this way, not because that we have worked anything out here, that we've done so much good down here, and we've of anything that we've done back here, but it's only because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. As we look up to him, as we look up to Jesus, we look up to him for our salvation and reconciliation, and we look up to him as our sustainer and as our peace and as our assurance, as the one who is sufficient, and his grace is sufficient to carry us through each day by day as we walk with him. And we look to the future in him as the finisher of our faith, who presents us complete and perfect in Christ Jesus. That's my challenge to us this morning. Let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who preserves us. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who'll take care of us. He's the one who'll provide for us and make the way that we don't have to be frustrated and discouraged and defeated because of our past. We don't have to be worried about our future. We don't have to be defeated because of our present, because God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is available. He is everything we need. He's there to take care of us. He's there to provide for us, to meet our needs in a beautiful way. Another portion of scripture I want to read in closing would be in Psalm 121. Psalm 121, the great scripture for the sustainer, the one who takes care of us, the one who provides for us and meets our needs. Psalm 121, many of you probably have it memorized. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And I'm thankful this morning again that I could testify that God has preserved my soul. He's preserved my life many times. He's gone before me, made a way, opened doors and closed doors, and provided direction and leading in my life and safety for my wife, life and my family, and many, many ways that have been provided and guided our lives that we are still here today, still worshiping, still glorifying him. We're still here. We're going to continue on. We're going to continue on to the end. We're going to go all the way. We're not going to stop now. We're going to continue on. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the author of our faith. He's the provider of our faith. And he's the finisher of our faith. And it's my challenge to all of us. Let's look to Jesus. Look unto him. And get our eyes off of this earthly trash that we have wandered through. Let's not allow the past to be destroying us, but let's look unto Jesus. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Thank God this morning that we have a Redeemer that's gone before us. He's made a way that we can have access to him. We can have his presence in our life today. So I just want to pray God's blessing upon each of us as we wait before him. Look unto him. Don't be distracted by the things down here. Because he's the lifter-upper of our soul. He's the one who will lift us up. He will make us whole. He will take us all the way. So we put our hand in his and walk with him. God bless you. Brother Mark, you want to close?